Vernon H. Kunasekera, 7th of July, 1966.
Is it actually left septic? I wonder whether this, sometimes the batteries have to be constantly replaced. Yes. And the trouble is the batteries now are not as good as... So what Justin told me was to restrict myself to the Shamsama's movement.
That'd be fine.
But even there, see, you cannot separate the personal thing and you, what you might call a chronological listing of events. It could be meaningless, or rather, full meaning would not appear. So I was casting over in my mind things like this to bring to focus the various trends that were already in existence. And show to some extent how the rise of the Samasamaj movement and its apparent success was the result of a confluence of some of those trends.
That'll be fine. You want to rehear that?
Okay, can I?
Well, what were you?
It's gone now. Okay. Actually, you tell me what is the... No, I take it that the thing will go as a contribution by me.
Yes, it will.
And what I suggest is that you give me a chance to correct the typescript.
Yes, obviously.
And as we go on, I suppose it won't finish in one day. What do you want to find out from me?
Yes, we'll see, yes. It's very difficult to estimate the... Time.
Apart from that now, just talking about the Samasamaj movement itself.
When exactly did you leave school and enter the political arena, so to speak?
Well, actually, when I was a school boy, that would be up to about 1926. There was very little happening in Ceylon that could draw the schoolboy of my time into the arena of politics. In those days, politics was something that was restricted to a few people who were interested in finding seats for themselves or their patrons in the restricted legislature that was in existence. And actually politics was restricted to a small layer of professional men, and men certainly who could afford from their private resources to play about matters which they consider public interest, but which really was very narrow, restricted to very narrow confines. I say this having in mind the public events of later years that took the younger generation almost by their ears and almost sort of flung them into politics. And those are events that really arose as a result of the political trends, or shall I say, events outside Ceylon that had their repercussion on younger people outside that
professional layer I spoke of earlier.
Yes. It is noticeable, for instance, that at the outset in particular, the lawyer class predominated in our politics.
Yes. And that was because politics at that stage had a purely intellectual basis. The position was transformed completely after universal franchise. But the transformation actually began earlier with the introduction of labor politics
by
Mr. A. Gunasekara.
What about at the rural level? What about the influence of people like Dharmapala and Harishchandra in pre-First World War years?
Actually, that was before my time.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, I have given my mind to that
mm-hmm.
from the time I began to take an interest in politics. That is to say, from 1931.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think that that influence is highly overrated.
Mm-hmm. Why?
And particularly now. When I say now, I mean in these last few months, when those people who are seeking some kind of ideological control, or shall I say, seeking to establish new heroes,
mm-hmm.
are resuscitating the only people of note they can dig up from the past. I don't think Dharmapala or anybody else even scratched the surface of the political society, or shall I say, scratched the surface of, in the sense of that their life or their thought or their features had any significance or actuated anybody or any sufficient or substantial section or layer of society.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you would support the general CCS argument that the mass of the people, that is the rural folk, were not really interested in politics?
Not until the universal franchise. Definitely.
I think there's quite a lot of evidence in your support, certainly. And, then leading off from this, when you did begin to take an interest in politics in the late 20s, which way did you gravitate?
I will say this,
mm-hmm.
that I had no particular predilection,
mm-hmm.
nor did I have any particular objective. My first association in any kind of politics was when I had left school and I was waiting to join the university. I was living at Nugegude, a small suburb of Colombo, and there two or three people much older than myself had formed what was called Mahajana Sabha or something. In fact, I forget the exact name. And I thought I'd make myself of some use to them. And I had attended some of their committee meetings. They had nothing to do except vegetate for a UC for Nugegude, a court in Nugegude. And made all sorts of parochial suggestions for the improvement of people. Clearly they had no politics. But they were people who appeared to be some kind of agents of bigger politicians. And occasionally people used to be, some of the bigger politicians used to be invited to come and give a public lecture under the auspices of this Mahajana Sabha.
Mm-hmm.
And what is interesting in my mind, and has kept this part of it alive for me so many years, is that I was instrumental in inviting SWRD Bandar to come and address a meeting under our auspices.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I first came to know him. And things were like that till in 1931. And this is one of the trends, important trends, political trends of the time, that is worth recording. Well, there was a thing called the youth movement that arose at that time.
Who started?
Yes. That youth movement was started principally in Jaffna.
Okay.
Which for various, for obvious, various and obvious reasons, is a section of, you know, both linguistically and territorially that would react first to race in India.
Uh-huh.
And the national movement in India, which was bound to have its impact on the minds of all peoples of the East, who at that time were under the yoke of one imperialism or another,
uh-huh,
had their impact on us, and as I said, largely in Jaffna. The youth movement began in Jaffna. A parallel or an associate body was set up in Colombo, and I joined that movement. It had a tremendous fillip in the visit of Jawaharlal Nehru and Mrs. Kamala Devi Chattopadhyaya, who spent a few weeks in Ceylon, in between the various terms of imprisonment that they both served jointly and severally. Number of meetings were organized on them, and they addressed, drew large crowds of the younger people of Ceylon, students particularly.
English speaking.
English speaking, definitely. In Jaffna, one of the names I recall was a very respected man of integrity and professional honor, Dr. T.C. Rajaratnam.
Mm-hmm.
And there are various other names that did not great importance. In the outside Jaffna, Mr. Valentine Pereira, now dead,
mm-hmm,
I think, and Srini Sankar, now dead. He was an advocate, he's a barrister. He was later to join Mr. Bandaranaike's Sri Lanka Freedom Party.
Mm-hmm.
And people like that were the original members of the parallel body that arose in Colombo. Then the youth movement in outside Jaffna, that is to say in Colombo, began to develop on separate lines. It organized what was called the Youth Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And they set up branches in many parts of the island.
Was this eventually the basis of the LSSP?
Yes, I'm coming to that.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is one of those forces that have to be reckoned with in estimating the remarkable rise of the LSSP.
Mm-hmm.
The amongst the various youth leagues set up was the South Colombo Youth League, which was the most important of the youth leagues. both in its own right and in the light of subsequent political developments in the country. Mm-hmm. Now, it was to that youth league, I might say at once, that people like Mr. Philip Gnorr, you know, Calvin Hardy Silver, an embryo, and several others took membership.
S.A.B. Crossing?
Not in the South Colombo. Mm-hmm. They were members of the Congress. There's something more about this. You know, in the course of time, over an issue that I will refer to later, because I do not want to anticipate another line of development, mm-hmm. all these youth leagues split into two portions, really, to left and right. So much so that one of the popular writers in Lake House Press at that time made a witticism, saying now it's a case of half a league, half a league, half a league onward. The split in the youth movement,
for the Irish.
The split in the youth movement really arose from a development of another movement that had arisen at the time. That was the Suryamal movement. I could say something about that.
Yes.
Because there used to be an annual celebration on a very large scale of the anniversary of the armistice of First World War,
yes.
On November 11th, when this selling of poppies and the wearing of poppies was on a very large scale. And the money collected was avowedly collected for the youth, the succor of ex-servicemen who fought in that war. This there was at that time a barrister, Mr. Elian Pereira, was a member of the organization that ran the Poppy Fund, that was the Comrades of the Great War Association. And he took up the matter, a point that they were very niggardly in the expenditure of money on Ceylonese ex-servicemen. Stalin Pereira was himself an ex-serviceman, of course he was in no need of succor, but he, in point of the unfairness of the allocations of money, and
that is within Ceylon.
Within Ceylon, of course. And a crisis arose in that association, and Elian Pereira broke away from it, and he on his own conceived the idea of selling a counter symbol on that day. And he chose a purely local indigenous flower, the Surya flower, the yellow flower. And he ran a campaign on the same day, selling this flower specifically for the assistance of Ceylonese ex-servicemen who fought in the Great War. So there was in that a very narrow distinction between Europeans and Ceylonese, mm-hmm. but who had served the same cause. Well, for what it was worth, several of us joined that Suryamal organization, including myself, and we played an important role in that, in as much as we supplied all the personnel, and I personally wrote the literature for that original campaign.
Can you remember the incident when the policeman Hennessy hit someone?
Yes, I can, but will you allow me to finish this thing, because I want to just come on to the point that I broke off from splitting the youth movement.
Yes.
Well, this was such a tremendous success in its first year that Captain Gammon, who was the the organizer and the head of the Commerce Department, the European section of it.
Mm-hmm.
He came to terms with Elian Pereira before the next, on the when the next campaign was approaching. And Elian Pereira was ready to watch his hands for the whole Soviet power movement. It was there that fortunately we having been in it,
mm-hmm.
we decided that we carry out this campaign now on at a higher level without Elian Pereira as a pure and simple anti-imperialist campaign, mass campaign.
Mm-hmm. Who made this decision? What was the inner caucus, shall we say, which made this decision?
Now, there is no harm in saying now, at this stage of events, that there was already at that time in existence the nucleus of the Sama Samaj movement as a secret group. And even the original idea of joining the first Surya campaign
mm-hmm.
was a decision taken in that group,
mm-hmm.
which followed the usual Marxist
and
in that
group?
Yes. And what we foresaw at that time actually did take place, that at any moment the man who originated his life was liable to drop it.
Yes.
See, and he fell into our lap. The first campaign necessarily could not be frankly anti-imperialist.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps Captain Gammon saw the possibilities of that. And it was that that induced him to come to terms with the founder, Elian Pereira.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this campaign, that in its second year, was run by us. And of course, the Chilean Pereira did not denounce it or repudiate it, only he got out of it. He was a professional man and he was not a man dedicated to politics and he did not bother about it. In the third year, this campaign began to be stepped up because by that time, large numbers, thousands, got used to the idea that this was an occasion on which they could demonstrate, firstly, their anti-British feelings, anti-imperialist feelings, and their nationalist feelings.
Mm-hmm.
To some extent, of course, they were being taken along in the enthusiasm and in the contest and in the struggle on the streets, to sell the rival symbols.
Mm-hmm.
There was a gradual education of the public unconsciously going on. I remember even in school, my little brother was, for instance, in the kindergarten form, he was made to stand up the whole day on the form because he refused the teacher's request to take off his Surya Mahasaya's shirt. See? Now, he would know no politics. But then he had that loyalty to the fact that his brother was in the movement.
Uh-huh.
So in that way, people who even did not think politically were involved politically.
Uh-huh.
And it was a Suryaman campaign or movement had that value. Then, during the third campaign, over the from the time Elian Pereira dropped out of it, though the people who really were the brains in this were the secret group, which was ostensibly run as a separate organization called the Suleiman Movement. And the annual event was taken over quite officially by all the youth branches. Now, at that time, I'm sorry to have to pitchfork my own personal role in this, but it is a fact. I was from the beginning the secretary of the South Colombo branch from the Youth League. And I was originally a familiar person, the man who wrote the pamphlets for the Suleiman
campaign.
And they were terrific stuff. In the third year, the pamphlet I wrote failed to get the formal approval of the president of the South Colombo branch.
Who was that?
Mr. George Caldera Proctor, senior Proctor. And I insisted that it should go to print and corrected. There was a very open anti-British and anti-imperialist and anti-government discussion or two that the president did not want. And he wrote officially saying he vetoed it, saying that it was not part of the policy of the movement, of the youth movement, to bring the government in either into contempt. Really, he was protecting himself against the provisions of the sedition section in the penal code. Well, that was really the signal
for the split.
For the split in the entire youth movement. I insisted on getting it published. Of course, after reference to the secret group. And it resulted in my expulsion from the youth movement. And we held a meeting and expelled the other group. And this was repeated in all the branches. Then that is how this half a league came into, the joke came in the country. And I might mention there that at the meeting at which we tried to right to overrule the president, Mr. Caldera, his wife's nephew, Mr. Doric Souza, who was in a university undergrad, a blue-eyed boy, Professor Mars, who was expecting a scholarship, who had just got it, I think. He led a team, a band of Rara boys who came and disturbed and tried to break up our meeting with whistles and what do you call that?
Rattles.
See them in football matches even in England.
He's changed his hue since then?
At the time, he was entirely unpolitical. He just came in for the hell of it, I suppose, because Caldera brought him on. One of the purest features was that Mr. and Mrs. Caldera were on two opposite sides in this split. And actually, that ended in a divorce.
You mentioned Inner Caucus. Apart from better-known names, were there others? Philip Gunawardene, was he there?
I mean, now that you've asked the question, Philip Gunawardene is undoubtedly the founder of the Marxist movement in Ceylon. Unlike anybody else of the people who joined him at the beginning itself, he was the only experienced politician, the only experienced mass agitator and mass leader that entered the political arena.
On this side.
He had had experience of the Communist Party and its work, both in England and in America, a number of years. England and America were centers to which the intellectual youth of Asia found their way in his time. And he was acknowledged by them as the leader of the, in Marxist ranks, of left-inclined students who reached Europe or America.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I have verified this myself in my visits to Europe. He held a place comparable to that of M.N. Roy, who was
India.
Of India, who was a colleague of Lenin himself. Except for this difference that M.N. Roy lived in India and moved in these matters 10 or 15 years before Philip Norton. And in the post-war years we have seen Philip's colleagues and Philip's pupils in Marxism occupying the highest positions in the left movement and in actual left constituted governments from Japan right up to the Middle East and Africa itself. And they do not hesitate to pay the greatest homage and the mention of his name even up to now.
I have not got my dates clear as to when N.M. and Kolvinar went to Europe and came back from there.
I will tell you. It was in 1931 that this youth movement, or youth congress, as separate from the youth movement of Japan, was constituted in Colombo. In 1931 itself, Philip Gunawardena arrived in Ceylon. And the same year, Kolvinar de Silva came into Ceylon. Dr. S.A. Vikramasinghe had come in earlier. But apparently in London, Philip Gunawardena, Dr. S.A. Vikramasinghe, Kolvinar de Silva, Leslie Gunawardena, who himself came about 1930 or 31 and back to Ceylon, had been associated, and some others who have now dropped out of politics, appear to have been associated in this idea of forming the Marxist movement in Ceylon. It was only after Philip arrived that the group was actually formed. And I was the first of the purely indigenous person in this. Because at that time I was one of the people they would have wanted to have, because I was the only person in there, in any movement, who had left, radical and leftist ideas. And so I was told later. And Philip has been, from the start, and after many vicissitudes of fortunes of politicians, political leaders and political parties, still remain as the person I have the highest regard for, both as a politician and as a man of honor. And I want to make good an omission on my part when I detail the various qualifications Philip had for being considered the founder of the Marxist movement. The most important fact that he was then and is still the one person in the leftist movement who has a thorough mastery of communist doctrine and philosophy, and his mastery is such that one could class him as an original Marxist thinker.
Mm-hmm. He has adapted it, has he?
No. Mm-hmm. His capacity for thinking on Marxist lines that would make him rank with Marx, Engels, Trotsky, Lenin, I forget the names of some of the French and Italian people. I was particularly struck by what there is an Italian. I forget his name. I remember it before long. And certainly he's, even up to now, I think the only person who has read the philosophical side of Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
Who certainly has read the collected works of Lenin rather than the selected works of Lenin that I built from the time after the death of Lenin. So that is a great advantage that Marxism has had in Ceylon, in the capacity of original thought on Marxist lines. In explanation of the various vicissitudes of Marxism in Ceylon, I could say it has been his capacity for original thinking that has put him outside the fold of the very parties he built.
Mm-hmm. What about personal rivalries?
Yes. When there are persons in political movements, personal factors can always arise.
Mm-hmm.
And they have arisen in large measure in the movement in our country. But I think to deal with those things, particularly at the start, can be very misleading and can result in blotting out the really significant features and the importance of the contribution that Marxism has made for good and for evil in our society.
Yes.
What do you mean? Where did we stop?
With Philip, but you were really talking about the youth movement in its third year and how the split occurred and how you took charge of it.
Not that it was around me that the thing appeared to break.
No, what I meant I meant the editor.
I did. Well, it was very clear with rival bodies everywhere claiming to be youth leagues, that the youth leagues had ceased to serve their purpose.
Just one question, which I hadn't asked before. From what strata did the members of the youth leagues in the provinces in particular come?
It came entirely from the English-speaking youth. You see, they may have got a few of their non-English speaking friends and relations to help, but it was, you can say, where it mattered, which was entirely the English speaking intelligentsia.
And that time the English speaking youth were middle class, were they?
Entirely.
How did caste come into this? I mean, before Marxism developed, I mean, many of these youth leagues would inevitably have had some caste divisions, wouldn't they?
There must have been people of different castes, but the question never arose, and nobody bothered. But, and as a matter of fact, I should say that nobody knew to which caste a particular person belonged. Now, when I said that the youth movement appeared to have
So dispersed.
I wish to draw your attention to the Suremal movement itself. The Suremal movement, with the money it was collecting, began to do some practical things.
Mm-hmm.
While the youth movement was spending itself purely on propaganda, and for the first time on public platforms, openly anti-imperialist. Up to that time, all politics in Ceylon were politics that demanded, in its own picturesque phrase, British justice.
Mm-hmm.
That is to say, they asked for things under the aegis of the British.
Mm-hmm.
They sort of put the British to the performance of their promises. For the first time, in open and in public, in the history of foreign domination in Ceylon, there was a platform where its leaders openly asked the British to go,
mm-hmm.
and openly asked the Ceylonese to organize to throw the British out.
Had Dharmapal never done that?
No. He may have, I am told, he used to set up straw dummies and street corners, and in the course of his speeches he used to kick the dummy and say, this is a white man, this is how he should be kicked. To me, boulder he can kick an Englishman. But there was no politics.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, in the dispatches sent by governors, I have read myself, recently published, they are considering him a highly seditious man.
Mm-hmm.
But those were days when governors considered any criticism to be seditious.
Yes.
Anyway, the practical work that was begun to be done took the form of three practical things that were done. One was a couple of books were published by the Suremal organization. One was a short biography of Jawaharlal Nehru in Sinhalese.
Mm-hmm. Did you write that?
It was written, so the flyleaf says, by Vernon Gunasekhar and Leslie Gunawan.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I wrote it, he translated it in Sinhalese. Then, the other thing we did was, we took a girl from a very depressed caste and put her into a Colombo school.
Mm-hmm.
And educated her and made great publicity of that fact,
mm-hmm.
that we were breaking into the caste barriers, which was symbolic more than anything else, because one child could hardly make any difference. As a matter of fact, I think we have created a problem child. I do not know what has happened to her. See? third thing that was done was, in 1935, a malaria epidemic broke out in the country.
Mm-hmm. I know about that.
And amongst the various organizations and persons who went out to do relief work, the Suremal went out in a big way, not only with its own funds, by collecting public subscriptions. There too we were having in mind the objective of involving as large a number of persons as possible in our activities.
Mm-hmm.
Both the barrier contributions and by the recipient, and by way of the recipients of our relief.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this is of great importance. You would not guess, did I tell you? In the course of that, we selected an area that was particularly afflicted, namely the Ruamba district.
Mm-hmm. And that's where NM?
Yes, and NM, who had on a party decision, decided ultimately to contest that seat, was given in charge of the distribution of that relief.
Mm-hmm.
And NM, of course, is a doctor of philosophy. But the afflicted people of Ruamba, who received plasma queen and malted milk,
mm-hmm.
from the Suremal funds through Dr. Imperial's hands, thought he was just a doctor of medicine.
Oh, I see.
And in due course, Dr. Nimbera in 1936 contested the election and he won the seat.
Who did he beat?
He beat Mrs. Molamore.
So in a sense he defeated a feudal family in his stronghold?
In his stronghold. And a man without any roots whatever in that area. And, that was of course in 1936. Mm-hmm. And with that, the Suleiman campaign also seemed to
peter out.
I believe he ran it for a year or two longer. And, by that time, bigger issues had arisen in Ceylon. And it was the people, the masses, to the party of development, the party organization, the trade union movement,